The Snow Bear. Hans and Trudy lived in a cottage at the foot of a very high mountain called the Snow Bear. It was called this because of a curiously shaped rock at the top. When covered with snow, it looked just like a huge white bear sitting with its paws on its knees. Since they were very small, Hans and Trudy had often climbed the mountain with their mother and father. But when they were seven, they begged their parents to let them climb the mountain by themselves. At last, their father agreed.
"You'll be safe enough if you keep to the path, but you must come straight down again as soon as you've reached the top. And remember, the sun sets early behind the mountains."
So the very next day, the children set off up the steep track. They wore warm clothes and heavy climbing boots, and Hans carried a knapsack of food. But they had not gone far when Trudy began to lag behind.
"You can't be tired yet," said Hans. "I'm not tired," said Trudy, "but something is pricking in my left boot."
Trudy sat down on a stone, took off her boot, and felt inside. The tip of a big nail had worked its way through the sole. She tried to knock it down with a small stone, but it was too near the toe for Trudy to get at it properly. The two children were just wondering what to do next when they heard a curious tapping noise. Tap, tap, tap. Then tap, tap, tap again. They looked at each other in surprise. Who could be tapping on a lonely mountainside? They began to explore in the bilberry bushes nearby, and presently they almost tripped over a strange little man. He was sitting, cross-legged, on a rock, beside a collection of tiny hammers, pincers, nails, and bits of leather. He was busy hammering at a bent nail, trying to straighten it. He was dressed in ragged, patched clothes, and looked rather disagreeable. The same idea crossed the children's minds.
"Please, sir," said Trudy timidly, "could you knock down a sharp nail in my boot?"
"I'm busy enough as it is," he said crossly. "But give me the boot."
Trudy set it down on the rock beside him. He soon saw what was wrong, and with a pair of pincers, he pulled out the troublesome nail. Then he took a nail with a head shaped like a clover leaf and hammered it in its place.
"Thank you very much indeed,"
said Trudy, sitting down and putting on her boot. "It feels quite comfortable now."
"So it ought,"
replied the little man with a scowl.
"So it ought."
"I'm sorry I've no money with me, or I would pay for the nail," said Trudy.
"What use would your money be to me?"
snapped the little man. He looked such a thin, miserable creature that Hans said,
"Would you like something to eat?"
And from his knapsack he took two chunks of dry black bread, two small pieces of cheese, and two wrinkled yellow apples. This was all their mother could afford to give them. The little man seized a chunk of bread in both hands and began gobbling as if he had not eaten for days. The cheese went next, both pieces, and then the rest of the bread. The children almost wept when he began on the apples. Skin, pips, core, everything disappeared.
"A plain meal, but better than nothing,"
said the little man, shaking an apple pip out of his beard.
"Now, leave me in peace to get on with my work."
The children returned to the path.
"What a greedy little man," said Hans. "I never thought he would eat all our dinner."
"I've heard Mother talk about the little men of the mountains, who occasionally appear to travellers, but she said they always brought good luck if you spoke to them politely." They went on for some time in silence. Then, just as the path became steeper, they heard the sharp tap, tap, tap of the little man's hammer. They both stood still.
Where was he? How had he caught up with them so quickly?
Then they noticed a patch of brilliant green in front of them.
"It may be a bog," said Hans,
and he picked up a large stone and hurled it into the green patch. With a splash and then a horrid gurgle, The stone was sucked under.
Another step, and we should have been sucked under like the stone, whispered Trudy. What a good thing we thought we heard the little man's hammer and stopped just in time.
They went on more carefully, looking out for patches of bog. The wind blew colder and colder as they reached the last steep stretch before the summit. But they went on and were almost at the top when they heard the loud tap, tap, tap of the hammer. Hans stopped a moment. Then he noticed that the rock just above him had some loose soil at the base. He grasped it lightly, not putting his weight on it, but at once it rolled away. It crashed and thundered down the mountainside, loosening other rocks on its way. The noise echoed and echoed across the mountains. Both children turned pale with horror. If Hans had put his weight on the rock and grasped it firmly, then he too would have gone rolling down the mountainside, crashing to his death.
We're so near now, said Trudy, that nothing else can happen to us.
And a few minutes later, they were safe on the summit. Here the wind howled like a pack of wolves and chilled them to the very bone. They were thankful to get round to the other side of the snow bear and crouch down in the hollow between its great stone knees.
If only we had our dinner, said Trudy. It's odd, remarked Hans, but my rucksack feels lumpy when I lean back on it. Why don't you take it off and look inside? Said Trudy.
Hans did as Trudy suggested and plunged his hand inside the rucksack. The two children could hardly believe their eyes when he took out two white loaves cut in thickly buttered slices. Next came two creamy cheeses, and last of all, two perfect rosy apples.
I don't know how they got there,
but they're obviously meant for us, said Hans.
So let's begin eating. Yes. You see, the little man has brought us luck, said Trudy.
They ate very, very slowly and did not waste a crumb. The food was the best they had ever tasted. When they got up to start their way down, it was later than they thought. The sun was only just above the top of the nearby mountains and would soon set behind them.
We must hurry, said Hans. Come on, Trudy.
All too soon, darkness fell, and the children began to stumble over the rocks as they hurried down the mountain.
Suddenly, Hans stood still. I can't see the track anymore. What are we going to do?
Trudy peered down. There were just rocks and rocks and still more rocks. But then she saw something else.
Look, Hans, what are those lights? Can't you see them twinkling?
Yes, I see them. They make a winding trail all the way down the mountainside, just like the path. Perhaps if we follow them, they will lead us back home. Come on.
The tiny glowing lights were a good guide, and the children, no longer frightened, followed them easily.
I've been thinking, said Trudy. The little lights shine every other step. It seems as though you or I must have made them on the way up. But how could we?
The nail the little man put in your boot must be a magic nail, said Hans. Wherever it touched the ground coming up, there is a light to guide us home. The children hurried on. When they passed the place where they had last seen the little man among the bilberries, the light stopped. But this did not matter, as they were nearly home, and the path was wide and clear. They ran down the last gentle slope, helter-skelter, to their cottage.
We're very late, panted Hans. But I'm sure when Mother and Father hear our story, they'll understand and not be angry.
Hans was right. A and when their mother heard how miserable the little man had looked in his worn and ragged clothes, she made him a waterproof cape. The children left it at the very spot among the bilberry bushes where they had seen him. The next day, they visited the place again, and the little cape was gone. The mist was falling like fine rain, and the children were happy to think of the little mountain man keeping snug and dry in his little waterproof cape.